And welcome back to another episode of Simply Gold, our podcast where we meet with business entrepreneurs. Man, I'm so excited about today. My name is Alex. It's a pleasure to have everybody here. I've got what's becoming one of my really good buddies, Roscoe, with me today. Man, Roscoe, I'm so pumped to have you. You got so many things that you're involved in right now, and so many things that you're getting involved in, and I can't wait to hear all about it. So thanks so much for being here.
Oh man, it's good to be here, and I guess it's funny that you say we've gotten close. It's one of the businesses I have. I hope we're not getting close for that one. But we'll guess going to that a little bit later on.
Man, and then like I just see you as somebody like you ain't stopping here. Like there's so much in your future that you probably don't even know that you're going to get into.
Yeah, I have no idea. I didn't even think 3 years ago that I would be doing something on my own. And all of a sudden, it's. I guess when you get mad, you have a choice. Mm-hmm. Either you can strike back or you can do something and with that energy and do something positive for other people.
Yep.
And that's kind of what this has turned out to be, because I was irritated. I was annoyed. And here we are. 3 years later, I've been having some conversations with people in my past that I've worked with. And I'm like, dude, you're different. I said, no, I'm away from that stress and that idiocracy. And now we're taking all that frustration, all that anger and all that annoyance and turning it into something that's feasible for someone else.
Yep. I always say, don't get mad, get even, is what I tell people. Like, don't get mad. When somebody's frustrating you, it's like, man, just sweat it off, get even.
Yeah, and what I remember doing is taking how angry I was and bottling it up as much as I could and taking that energy and putting it into something that eventually turn into the businesses I have. So It's been quite a journey. And again, we all have a choice, and every single choice has a consequence that I've learned. What consequence do you really want to live with is really what it turns out to be. We have a left direction and a right direction. And it's really up to what you really want to do. What do you focus on? Can you focus on it and actually see it through and not give up? And this has been a testament of 3 years worth of focus. Wow. What else can I do?
Yep.
That's the question.
And I love the timeline that you have, the 3 years, because I'm kind of sharing in the same journey. Like I was nowhere where I am today in 3 years.
Right.
So what a short period of time where you can literally change everything about your life.
The best advice that everyone said is that there is a 100% chance of failure, 100% chance if you give up or you don't start. And I thought about that. I'm like, wait a minute. If I keep going, no matter what, you're guaranteeing I can be successful? Let's give it a shot. What the hell? Like, why not, right?
Why not? Yeah. So you got a few things that you're working on. You own a few businesses of your own. One of them is deeply involved into paternity testing. The second one is involved directly into fingerprinting, working with different types of agencies, companies as well to do fingerprinting. And those are just two of the many things that your services provide. How do you get into something like that, man? Like, just like why paternity testing? Why fingerprinting?
Well, first off, I mean, I was probably, if not the first, the top five Maury fans. Had to be. I would watch that thing religiously, and I could call it. This person's gonna be a runner. This person's gonna be a diver. She's gonna be dancing. I could call it. And a few of us that could watch it during that time, we would all sit around and kind of make wages at it. But kind of off subject, but how you get into it again, I was working for a company, and I had a darn good salary, right? I had profit sharing, and I had a pension and vacation time, 6 weeks worth of
money. Dang, so you didn't have a job.
I had it made.
Yeah.
And I was good at what I did. I was a master at what I did, and I got into some leadership roles, and I got involved with the supervisor that just was not seeing the things that I needed to see, and I felt devalued. And instead of doing what everyone else would do, I'm just going to quit and go to another company. Well, that's not going to fix it.
Right.
You're still working on someone else's dream. And I didn't have an answer. I've been working in insurance. My former life was insurance inspections. That's all I knew. That's all I dedicated my time to know. So the pandemic hits, like, oh, crap, what happens if I don't get back? It started hitting me again. And so a friend of mine had said 5 years ago, why don't you just get you a notary commission, get you something on the side? What the heck can I do? Well, get a notary commission. I'm not doing that. That's what women do. That's what I thought, right? And so I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get on that tomorrow. 2 years later, it's like, yeah, it's still not happening. But once we started sitting at home in March of 2020, I had time. Mm-hmm. I said, let me go and look this thing up and see what's going on. And I'll be doggone. It's like, wow, it's not just stamping a piece of paper. You can do so many different things with it.
Right.
You can do your mystery shopping, which is something I do. I do focus groups, which is crazy.
I've done a couple of those.
Oh, my God.
Like, I did one for Chili's. I did, like, an iced tea one. You talk about, like, back in the day, you'd go in the mall, right?
No, and this one you can do either online, or you can go to a place and do it. And those pay like $200, $250, $300, $400, depending on what it is.
Yeah. You still do that?
Yeah. I just did some a couple weeks ago. $200 in my, like, just like Dang. That. And it was Tyson. Well, I don't know if I can really say it, but anyway. But loan closings is what I kind of got into with the notary commission. Mm-hmm. You can make $200 a pop, and mm-hmm. it's 45 minutes worth of having people sign on a certain place.
Right.
That's it. And you're done. And as I got through the training for it, which cost me a little penny, the interest rates shot up. It's like, oh, you got to be freaking kidding me.
Yeah.
And so at this time, as I'm on YouTube and I'm getting all this information, the next big thing coming is fingerprinting. And so I'm looking at this fingerprinting thing like, you got to be kidding me. This is not a thing at all. And a buddy of mine, he was, he worked in a certain area. And I said, man, we need to kind of catch up. It's been a while. Mm-hmm. And he says, yeah, we need to connect. It's been too long. I said, what do you have going on today? He said, oh, I got to go get fingerprinted. Do tell me a little more about that. Yeah, I got to drive across the city and wait in line, and the people are rude, and you wait for hours, and hopefully the prints don't get rejected.
Right.
How much you pay for that? And he told me. I said, oh. I said, it's food for thought. What if you can get fingerprinted and someone came to you, and it was actually a pleasant experience? You didn't have to wait. All those things that you have issues with no longer was a thing. How much would you pay for that? He said, oh, I'd pay anything for that. And I said, you work in a building that's 12 stories. How many people in that building had to get fingerprinted? He said, all of us.
Right. Just start working.
Well, it's all the time, every year. Hold that thought. And 2 years later, I actually had my fingerprinting business. I launched it. And as I was learning fingerprinting, the next big thing was paternity testing. I'm like, oh, man, get out of here with that. That's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that was doing the course, I remember him saying that it was really something that all big businesses did. There were no small businesses in this field. And I remember him saying one thing, because I'm a travel nut. I'm like, I'm really sick. I need help with my travel. I like to get out. And he said that he was on vacation one day, and his phone rang. And the person was needing the paternity test, and he was on the beach. He answered the call about 5 minutes, and he made $400.
Dang.
I said, I need to know more about that.
That's real
and
money.
So I'm learning three different businesses at the same time, which I never recommend, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when one was up, the other ones were down. When the other ones were down, the other ones, I mean, it just kind of kept me balanced and kept money coming in, because all these kind of go in cycles.
Right.
So three businesses birthed, and I still can't believe it. It was a rough time, because I was still working a full-time job that I hated.
Mm-hmm.
But nights and weekends, I took that energy, that anger, that frustration, that annoyance, and it made me leave that job, that building, and go fast forward into the business that I was doing. So it kind of turned into
One thing that I've recognized from an observer standpoint is you are very good at efficiency. Because I've met some really stressed out business owners that are doing one thing,
right?
And they're like, man, you know, the hours and the this and the that, but I mean, not only you ruin the paternity, the fingerprinting thing, now you're involved in something new, right? And so my perception, or how I describe you, is it's like all he's really doing is replicating a process that he's probably got down to a science.
Mm-hmm. You know? And that's kind of what it started, because I spent so much time with the fingerprinting part. The fingerprinting taught me how to do business and fingerprinting. So I had no idea, how do you start a business? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you get going? I have no idea, because I've worked for a company. Well, I go all the way back to my first time making money. I was cutting grass. And, of course, back then, we had these things called chores.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That you had to do them, otherwise you got in trouble.
I was in the same boat. I mowed yards. Yeah. I stole my dad's lawnmower. I didn't even ask permission. Just grabbed it.
So because I was diligent at doing the lawn, because I wanted to get it done and get it out of the way,
mm-hmm.
so I had to cut the grass and I had to wash the car. Well, I don't have a license. I'm only like 12, 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. That was my job, is to do the things outside. And I did it, and people would come by. Because we lived in a neighborhood where people had money. And they said, who does your landscaping? And he said, you know, he does it. Really? How much does he charge? Ask him. I mean, $2 was a lot for me. Like, I don't right. know. And so I started making money just from my neighborhood. Now, mind you, these are the parents of my friends.
Right.
What? So I'm out cutting my friend's grass in the mornings
right.
and washing my friend's parents' cars in the afternoon. And so I made quite a killing on that. I had a pocket full of money every yeah. Saturday. And it became such an enterprise. I became addicted to that. And so I learned that you find a way just to replicate, figure out what's going to be the easiest way of doing it, and just do it all over again. So with right. fingerprinting, I learned how to build the business. I learned how to use Google and all the platforms to get the attention. So I just replicated over and over again. And so now, like you can't see it, but I have on my paternity jacket. But when a big person needs a fingerprint, well, I just need to change.
Okay, that I had never seen.
And it's right here. So you I can got the Yeah.
You're like me at a football party. Which team are you reading for? Right. Whichever one's winning. So when my team starts losing, I just switch shirts.
So I sometimes when I know I have double bookings of each business, I just layer up and mm-hmm. take one off whenever I'm doing the other one. So I have a paternity test right after this, so I have to go and have the jacket on. Right after that, I have a fingerprint, so I take the jacket off.
That's funny. But see, that's exactly my point. It's like, man, I see you as just a master of efficiency and scalability. And then, you know, as we talk about this next adventure that you're in, that's what I've been mostly in awe and mm-hmm. like, and we'll talk about like what it is and everything, but like, I know the money will come if I learn how to be efficient with the process. And when I look at you and I'm like, man, if Roscoe can do this, I can develop a process. That's easy to learn.
Yeah. It's mental. It's all mental. And luckily I'm so thankful that when I first started fingerprinting, I had a coach, I had a person, a mentor mm-hmm. that was already had replicated their business four times at four locations.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought was, whatever you're doing, I'm doing. If you say go and drink
this Kool-Aid.
Doesn't matter. I'm right. drinking. I'm like, do I add ice with it or what do I need to right. do? And I was very focused on whatever you say, I'm going to be doing it. And I'm not going to question anything at all. And I remember even like you talk about growing the business. I was mobile. I didn't have an office. I couldn't afford it.
Right.
And so I was just straight mobile. I was driving all over DFW, which I was burning a lot of gas. And the time came a year ago this month. She said, go find you an office space. Like, where? I don't know. You figure it out. The person didn't live here. Lived in a different state.
Right.
And so I began to research. Like, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to figure it out. And I saw where all my competition was. I started Googling. And I saw that there was no one in the Frisco area. Like, that's odd that everybody's kind of in the south of the 121.
Mm-hmm. More in like the city limit, yeah. I guess you say, right?
And I looked, and I'm like, wait a minute. Why is no one up there? And I started looking at office space.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that the office space was a very luxurious car payment. I said, oh, that's why nobody's up there, because you go broke just by right. having the office space. So
we're going broke here on office space.
Oh, my God. So I said, no, I'm not doing that. She said, you're going to get office space. I said, no, I'm not. She said, sure. I said, yes, I am. And so I reluctantly signed up. I signed off, and I'm like, man, I'm going to go broke in this thing. I still have a balance of my startup fees to pay off.
Mm-hmm.
And as I...
And how long ago was this?
This was a year
this ago. This was a year ago. A year ago, okay.
This month. I moved into end of April of last year.
And where's your office now?
It's right off of Warren Parkway in the Dallas Tollway.
Okay.
Frisco. So that month, I started getting some calls and people started coming in the month of May, the first full month of me doing it. I was looking at my numbers, and they were steady. It was a steady, maybe a 30% rise. I mean, this is far. I forget what geometry. It was a steady incline, but it wasn't anything crazy. But the first full month I was in that office, mm-hmm. I quadrupled what I made. And it's been going up ever since. So I got my office in April. First month in May, I resigned from my company in June.
That's cool, man.
So it's like, because she had asked me, she said, once I got my full month, she said, okay, when are you resigning? I said, what? I said, when are you going to resign? I said, December?
Yeah.
So no, you're going to be resigning in 3 months.
So I want to talk about real quick. So some I've heard that we call that the leap, or some people have called that the leap, right?
Right.
I'm working with an entrepreneur right now, current customer, and he's got a part-time job. He's not a full-time job. He's got a part-time job, but man, is it limiting. I mean, he's like, I can only talk till noon. I got to go to my other job. Mm-hmm. We also just hired a team member here at Simply Gold, and it, very similar situation. She's like, well, you know, maybe I'll quit in May. And I'm like, you're just burning daylight. You're robbing yourself of that opportunity. So I feel like it's the same conversation. It's like, you know what? You can do both your job and this, but like, what sacrifice?
Yeah.
I'm sure by then you knew your numbers and you're like, man, for every hour I'm spending messing around at my job, quote unquote, like I'm losing out in 10X or 5X or whatever it is.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that. When I started looking at the numbers and the vacation time, I started taking vacation time just so I can go be in my office
right
for 8 hours to see what it looked like. And the first day I did that, there was so much more money I made, and it scared me. I said, I just made $1,000 a day. I said, crap, that's pretty cool. I said, what else can I,
right,
if I'm there more, I'm missing, because my phone's ringing a lot, but I would have to tell them I can see you in the evening after 5. Well, I need it done now. Well, I can't help you yet because I'm actually somewhere else right now. I don't want to be available in Frisco until 5. And so I would do that. I can't believe I was burning vacation time to come work. Just let that sink in.
I've done it.
Vacation time, like, I haven't been anywhere. I'm used to being out of the country at least
once
a quarter. And I'm burning vacation just so I can be present for people.
Long lunches, making excuses. You're like, man, I'm stuck in traffic. I'm on the way back. But literally, you're just in the meetings doing
so. It's a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice for me to say, you know what, enough. And I started figuring out, what do I need to have coming in to step away? And I think I was so frustrated. I wasn't going to make myself step down. But I had to make sure that it's got to be consistent. It's going to work. And so, not to make this into a religious thing, but I made a choice a long time ago. I said, I'm just going to pray about it. I come to this church every week, and it's time for me to go and put it through the test. And I said, I need some direction now. I'm tired of figuring it out myself. I need to know, do I go left? Do I go right? If I'm going to stay at this company, I need some help.
Mm-hmm.
If the direction is for me to go and open up these companies and really go full force, I need to know that. I don't want to have to figure it out. I don't want to have to get a book. I don't want to have to go to a medium. I want it to be so clear that I know exactly what's going on. And I remember I got called into an office at work at the company, and the guy wrote me up. And one of the things he wrote me up for was I used to teach policy, insurance policy. I said, and I was telling the group, encouraging them, policy is something that you can't learn today. It's going to take time. It's kind of like a foreign language, like Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
Japanese, you're not going to get it today. You have to learn it. You have to practice it. You have to listen to it.
My piano teacher told me that when I was in college. She's like, you're not going to be that good. You know that, right? I was like, what is that supposed to mean? She's like, you're supposed to start this when you're 4 years old.
Well, you know, there's that. But it was an encouraging message that I was trying to give them. Like, hey, don't beat yourself up if you're not making it make sense today.
Right.
And I got written up because I compared Japanese to policy language.
On accident, I'm sure.
And I was like, that was racist? Really? And there was a number of other things, but they were all frivolous things. And when I went and I asked a question, I said, okay, where's the book of things I can't say?
Because
no one took offense to anything I said. And the guy sat back in his chair and crossed his legs and said, oh, it's obvious. It's common sense on what you shouldn't say. And I kid you, I could feel his vein in my hand and of his neck. I could feel it. It hit me right then. It's like, wait a minute. There it is. This is not it.
Mm-hmm.
And from that moment, when I tell you, I started to walk in that direction. Every single thing that happened from that point, none of it made any sense at all.
Yeah.
And I said, wow. He literally came here as a messenger. He didn't even know it. And so when I gave my resignation that day, I remember it. It hit him like a ton of bricks because we were on a Zoom call because he was in a different state. He said, are you sure? I said, yes, hitting you now, because all those times you were belittling me, I was carrying the whole team as far as metrics were concerned.
Right.
My metrics were the one that was keeping everybody afloat. but I never got recognized for it. And I never got rewarded for it. I never got compensated for it. And I took all that and I said, you know what? I can't tell you that I you have to pay me more. I got to show you. And so I started this thing and I was like, wow. I remember I started making the same amount of money that I was making there part-time. And I said, what am I doing here? And so I put my resignation in June and I haven't looked back since. And someone just called me just yesterday and said, you realize that they still haven't gotten a chance to get you going yet, like replace your position.
Right.
Yet. They're still trying to figure out how they're going to manage it and they're changing things up. This was in June of last year. This is now April. This is almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they still, and I gave them a 6-week notice.
They let you stay for the 6 weeks?
I didn't have a choice. I was on one door. Right. I did.
Oh, that's true too. Yeah.
So they tried to get me say, no one ever said, hey, if you wanna ever take that back, you can. We'll figure it all out.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, I'm good. At 6 weeks, that last day, I'll be turning my laptop in. But I'm going to finish the job. And I told the people that I never explained what I went through. I never did to anyone. I just kept it inside, and I used that energy to kind of go out and do what I'm doing now.
Right.
But I said, the whole thing is my assignment was to do the job. So no matter how I was being treated, the people that I was helping, I was there for a reason. That's how I felt. And that's how to keep it streamlined. And I think by doing the right thing, it's allowed all these things that everyone else is seeing, like, wow, you seem to really be enjoying yourself now. You seem to be having this amazing platform and this ministry that you're doing. So these are not side gigs or businesses on this platform. Because anybody that I meet with, like last night, a guy came in for a paternity test, and the test takes about 15 minutes. I didn't leave my office till almost 10 o'clock last night because we sat there and we talked about real life things that he's going through that he can't talk about anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is the reason why I started this business, is because not that, now it pays some bills, don't get it wrong, but it's an amazing platform to where people that are hurting can't go to people that they know because it's embarrassing.
Right.
Or they've led them astray before and they can't trust them. Now all of a sudden you come into this place where you're completely broken down and you're vulnerable. And this guy's giving you encouraging words that you've never heard before. And all of a sudden it's like, this is the reason why I do what I do. So yes, I deliver results. Yes, I change people's lives with information. Yes, I can do fingerprinting and do background checks to get them pushed forward. But somewhere in there is a person that needs to talk to someone instead of texting or scrolling or swiping. And it's like, wow, how did this happen?
Now, do you deliver the result right there in front of them, or is it more of like a secure thing?
No, it usually takes, depending on if the child is born or not, it can take anywhere from 3 to 5 business days.
Okay.
So usually I'll call them and say, hey, is this a good time to talk? A lot of the guys, they'll use my office space because they're dropping their wives off to go shopping. They'll bring the kid by for some ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
When they're coming to get, they don't want the mom to know that they're doing it.
Right.
And so we'll have to decide what kind of encrypted word or text message I can send to them so they know we need to talk about whatever just happened.
Gotcha.
So,
man, that's crazy.
It's the stories. That could be a whole nother series of podcasts.
Right.
But the stories they're interesting. There's a darkness out there that there's a switching where more of the women are becoming the aggressors, what men used to be.
Mm-hmm.
The women are going after theirs now, and they're getting the notches on the belt.
Right.
Where the men used to be, the men are becoming a little bit more passive, becoming more like the women used to be. And so I'll have women that come in that are pregnant and say, I need to figure out which one of the 3 or 4 or 5 guys is the dad.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know which one to tell. And it's like, unbelievable. What is going on here?
Man, you just said 3, 4, 5.
That they're admitting to.
Right.
They're admitting to.
Right.
Right? But
in a safe place. Yeah. I mean, they're saying, like, this is my legit situation. How do I resolve this?
I need to figure it out. And I'm like, you need to, any, meeny, miny, mo. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but figure out which one you want to have the relationship with. And then you have other ones that I remember one lady, she said, you have a guy that's in Houston. And I said, okay, so where's the other guy? Because that's why you're calling in for the paternity test. Well, he's here in Dallas with me. Okay, well, let's go ahead and get him. No. Now she's, I think, 2 weeks pregnant at this point. We can only test at 7.
Right.
So let's figure it out. Let's get him on the phone. No, because he has a restraining order on him now. So wait a minute, 2 weeks ago.
I'm sure you've delivered some bad news.
2 weeks ago, y'all were together. Now he has a restraining order. What happens in that amount of time? So, but it's they go, I mean, people.
I mean, have you just had women just completely break down and just like, oh my gosh, like, or men too, I guess.
Like, Yeah. Like last week I had a guy, he really wanted to be the dad. That was his first time meeting the child was there in my office.
Mm-hmm.
The child was two. And so he's playing with the child and they're running up and down the hallway. And the mom said, "Hey, you know, that's like the first time he's ever seen her." I'm like, "Well, it looks like they're getting along pretty good. This is okay. This is going to be pretty cool." She's like, "Yeah, it's, hopefully so."
Hopefully.
Well, he wasn't a dad.
Yeah. Dang.
So I was just like, man, that's heartbreaking. When I called him, he was like, "Are you sure? That's not my kid?" Like, not based off the DNA, no.
Right.
And so I called her and said, "He's not the dad." She's like, "Are you sure?" I'm like, "Come on, man. You know he's not the dad the whole time. You knew he wasn't the dad when you walked in this building.
Right.
You know you've been with someone else."
Right.
I said, "But you, it is what it is now."
Right.
I said, "So I'm here. If you need someone else to be tested, of course, we can get the results back for you pretty quick." So, but some of it is pretty sad. Like, I'll go in places where, in the house where the kid is old enough to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you never get over that. At some point, DNA tests is because someone has violated someone's trust.
Right.
And a lot of the cases are very, very sad. Some of them are happy. I think one of the craziest ones is a guy called me. He was 67 years old when I figured out this other guy was his dad. And he started talking about it. And I had to get him off the phone because I started tearing up. I'm like, man, this is a hell of a story. But 67, isn't it time?
I don't know. I mean, my biological dad left when I was four.
Man.
And my mom, she's asked me before in the past. She's like, you know, have you ever wanted to know? And I'm like, no.
Man.
She's like, not even a little bit? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad about it. I moved on like so long ago, right? Yeah. It's like, I wouldn't even know that person.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about him.
Now, if he was a billionaire, would you want to know who he was?
I don't know.
I guess the answer to the question is, would anything ever change that? But you just never know.
Only thing that I have updated about my biological father was about several years ago through a newspaper article. Because I think he had gotten remarried, and that published. I'm sorry, actually, no, that's not correct. Somebody had died in that family somehow, some way, and they were listed as survivors or whatever. There you go.
Jeez.
That's what it was. And then there was a new. I mean, whatever, right? I don't even know how old he is. Like, I don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
I have a whole bunch of pictures, but like, I don't know anything about him.
Wow.
And I'm okay with that. Doesn't make me sad.
Well, like, good for you.
So I'm thankful for that. But I don't know. I was too young.
Yeah.
I have memories, but like, I can't really put them really the pieces together. And I wouldn't know if he walked through this room.
You know, interestingly enough, people always ask, how you get into this? It's like, I don't know. It just happened. But I'm glad that everything I've gone through has brought me to this point where I can help people out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like our time that we really get active, because everybody goes and has their seasons.
Right.
Our starts at Thanksgiving, when everybody gets together. And it's like, you know, you never really look like us anyway. What are you even doing here? Why are you still coming here with that nasty food anyway? No one even eats it. And all of a sudden, I get a call at Thanksgiving. And then we have Thanksgiving. It's the holidays. So Thanksgiving, Christmas, families are together.
Right.
And alcohol is going, and truth comes out. And then we get over to the new year and, like, well, we got through the holidays. I guess now let's go ahead and get a DNA test done because tired of faking it.
Right.
And then tax season comes, and now we need to figure out who's going to be getting the benefit of having the kid. And then the tax refund comes, and now we can afford it. So it's between November and April, we're rocking and rolling. And then when you have funerals, then, of course, it comes up again. Well, you know, that's not really your aunt. I don't even know why you're here in the first place kind of thing. And people will come in. And even when someone dies, we have to do what we call deceased DNA testing. I have a couple of those I'm working on right now, where a person dies and all of a sudden these kids pop up. Hey, these are his kids. And we have to go and either, worst case scenario, exhume the body. But that never happens. Usually there's a blood card somewhere, or maybe if the body hasn't been buried yet, we have to unpry the mouth and clip the fingernails or yank the hair out or any of those things to get the sample from the body before it's put into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so those get kind of crazy. It's, doing an infidelity test. I mean, those are kind of crazy because they're bringing sheets and stuff in, bringing in undergarments and saying, hey, I need to figure this out. Is this person, is there any other opposite male-female DNA on these garments. We need to figure it out so I can give it to my attorney.
Whoa, that's
and so heavy. it gets kind of crazy, but DNA is DNA. Bring the toothbrush in, bring the hairbrush in, whatever you got. Bring
I talked band-aid. To a divorce attorney one time, and I just asked like point blank. I was like, you know, share a crazy story. And she's like, oh man, she's like, one time we had to pull like videotapes from the hotels and all this stuff so we could prove, you know, infidelity. And I was like, man, that's crazy. That's crazy. So I'm just going to take a wild stab and assume, and I'd love to hear, you know, your take on it. But, you know, moving into the 7K Metal Associates program that you're doing, do you think that's kind of like a great opposite of, you know, all of these crazy stories and having to console families and deliver sometimes bad news? How does this new adventure kind of play into the big puzzle, you know, that is all the things that you're working on?
Well, it all starts, first off, everything I've done, my businesses, I've had to do myself.
Mm-hmm.
So the opportunity came to me, 7K Metals, because I've heard about gold, I've heard about silver, but I didn't know anything about it. And I was advised I needed to get some assets because I'm needing something to take some of that gross off so I don't have to turn it into tax. I'm like, nah, I'll get to that whenever I get financially stable, because the idea is you have to have so much money, so many thousands on hand, liquid cash, to be able to acquire that metal. You have to be pretty well off to do it. And the 7K, what I learned is that you don't have to have that kind of thing. You can start buying literally gold at a dollar. I have a dollar this week, I have five next week, and I can start putting that into something that's going to be growing. And we've heard of inflation before. I don't have time for that. I'll just figure it out when I get to that point. Hopefully I never have to figure it out where it's bad. Hopefully it'll be good. But if I make enough money, I'll be fine. Because that's the idea, is you go to school, get your grades, get the diploma, get the degree, get the good job, get the pension, get the 401k, and then you live your rest of life. No, not anymore. Things are a little bit different. So
you get what you go after and get, like, the world has nothing to you.
It's insane. But so what happened is I started to look into it. Mm-hmm. My interest was piqued. So I began to see the benefits of it because I started doing it myself. And so I was like, wait a minute, this actually works. The money that I have in my my savings account that I've been stashing away here and there, I wasn't doing too much. So I started taking that money out and putting it into the precious metals. And it's like, oh my gosh, this actually is pretty cool.
Right.
I've literally, at this point in 2 months, 2.5 months, I've doubled my money in my savings. That's insane.
Right.
As opposed to waiting for someone else to do it, taking control of it.
But I don't see you at all as using that opportunity as a way to, like, tax strategy. To me, it's about helping people. And literally, that's your other business too, man. Like, at the end of the day, the money always comes, right? The money will be there. You know, like you said, you know, you blinked a year later. Now you got office space and you're making all this money. But man, I've never once ever heard you say something like, you know, man, I'm going to make all this money. I'm going to get rich, all this stuff. Man, it's always been about helping people and educating people.
Right.
When I saw you at the restaurant last week, you know, like, you had all this paperwork, you know, or like examples, right? You're like illustrations, like, check this out. You handed me what, four? It was four coins, all appeared to look silver, right? And you were like, tell me which one is fake.
Yeah.
But they all looked exactly the same.
Exactly.
But it was all about education. And the person sitting next to me, like, they didn't have a clue. They'd never seen anything, right? Or heard anything about it.
Majority of people haven't. And that's what I was saying, is that if I hadn't taken the time to understand it myself, then I would never. And now that I understand it, now I'm going out and starting to expose people to what I've learned. And that took some time, because I had to get comfortable with it. I had to get comfortable with going through my own paternity situation a long time ago.
Right.
Working in insurance, I had to get a fingerprint. And I understand that it sucks. So I've taken all those different things and found out what would have impressed me. And now that I'm in doing the 7K thing, there are so many people that need to know about how to diversify, number one, learn about what the dollar is doing, learning what the government is doing, learning how the banks actually work, and really open up their eyes, because it's in plain sight. And as I've learned how to communicate this, because I get so excited about stuff I'm passionate about, but I wasn't really wanting to turn it into a business because I don't have time.
Right.
I'm doing other things, but let's take fingerprint, isolate fingerprinting. Every time someone comes to get fingerprinted, they're either getting a name change, they're getting a sex change, they're getting a certification, they're getting a license, they're getting something to move them into a different stratosphere. And as we're talking, I have all of your personal identifiable information. Mm-hmm. So you trust me. And we'd start talking. My appointments are 15 minutes. But I usually schedule 30 to 45 minutes because we get to talking about different things. I don't know how organically it happens. And as we do it, I'll ask a question. I say, well, so as you start making more money or whatever you're doing with this new venture, what are you doing to kind of hedge against the inflation? What are you doing? What do you kind of have in place? Do you already have something that you're working on? And the blank stare comes. Like, but out of curiosity, I just started this new thing. How do you feel about silver and gold? Mm-hmm. And they'll tell me, oh, I know about it. And the same thing we all say, I know about it, but I've never done anything about it. And I ask them, if I could show you some things that I've been experiencing over the last couple of months, would you be interested in it? And 9 times out of 10, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, I would. And so now I'm able to take what I've learned, my shortcomings of not opening up my eyes because I'm so focused on making the money and doing the things that I do. It's like, here is a bow I can put on top of that appointment. Paternity testing, now you have a kid. What are you doing to save up for that kid? What are you going to leave as a legacy for that kid? This is something I kind of got involved in. Would you like to know more about some ways that you can maybe help out with that?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I would.
Would you say you wouldn't have been ready for this, though, like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago?
Probably not.
One way that I super connect with you, Roscoe, is like I literally feel like you've walked the exact same timeline that I have. Like I started my business 3.5 years ago. I quit my job 3.5 years ago. When I resigned, I did it the old ugly way. I like shipped my laptop, sent a message, and it's like, okay, I'm not coming back. Because this was during COVID. And they basically put a gun in my face and said, I need you back in the office. I wasn't ready. And because I was already exploring getting back into entrepreneurship. So I was already making money on the side, quote unquote. And so I was forced to make that leap because, I had already gone through that math in my head. I'm like, if I go back to the office on Monday, I'm stuck back in that race. And I'm building my business during lunch and like, you know, lying to myself, like where I'm at and what I'm doing. So I was just like, well, I got no choice. I just have to do it. And I never looked back. And I did get an office space right away. Cause this is my fifth startup. So like, I just kind of knew like the steps. So I was like, all right, get an office space, get a website, get everything going. But man, I didn't go all in until a year and a half ago.
Wow.
I mean, I went into January, 2023 with zero customers. Now I had a bunch of customers in 2022. But I couldn't, my head wasn't on straight. I couldn't figure out retention. I couldn't solve for client successing. And, you know, there was so many areas I was missing. So when I went into, I joined Master Networks January 2023 with a mentor, with someone that brought me in. And we went out to a bar. We were drinking some drinks. And like, and we looked at each other and we said, let's make 2023 our year. Let's go, like, no excuses. Let's just make it.
Let's go for it.
Let's go for it. And we spoke our goals out in the open. We had each other to be accountable. And that's when things started happening for me because I decided at that point, I'm not messing around anymore. I got no other option. I've tried because I had already tried and tried, but I hadn't really done it all the way, right? So fast forward to present day, I run a $500,000 business with a lean team. You know, there's tons of margin. We got 85 customers. So this ain't about me though. This is what I'm just trying to describe is man, at about the same time that you probably said, man, I got to get really just focused in and dialed in. I think I was doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And as we move into the 7K thing, so I'm a member as well.
Yeah.
You're a member as well, but man, you don't know this, but I'm watching you.
Oh man.
Like I'm watching you.
No pressure,
but I'm starting to figure it out, you know, and I didn't decide to go to Vegas, which is the conference that's coming up. I didn't make that choice until you and I met that second time.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm missing out, man. Like this guy just started this thing.
Just started.
And he's lapping me big time.
Well, I'll give you a story about that. I know I have my own business, but I don't think I'm a salesperson. I despise it to try to convince someone to do something they don't want to do. And what really drew me to this is that I'm not selling the idea of this. I'm just educating people. I'm saying, hey, here's something that is an option, because right now, if you stick to the course of where you are, it's not going to end very well. It's not going to be that right. fairytale ending. And this is one of those things that I use myself as an example. I didn't know the first thing about any of this in January. And now it's changed. Like, there are these membership fees, and people are like, oh, I'm put off by that. Oh, I can't sell this, and I can't do this. Like, what else can you not do?
Everything costs money. I don't know why people are always like, it's not free.
And I ask myself, do you by chance have Amazon Prime? Guess what? That is a membership. Do you have a Costco? That's membership. All these different things that you're already paying for, HBO and all these things you're paying monthly fees for are memberships. But what are you getting back from that? Nothing. Right. You're steady paying. There's a membership that actually pays you back. And I started explaining to people, I bought into it, and I didn't have the money. I'm thinking, crap, I swore I was not going to have more ramen noodles. I swore I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I have to, because this, I need to do it. And I said, I'm going to go all in. And every time I made that decision, I did my own little research. It's like, here we are. And this is one of those things that I'm glad that we had an opportunity to speak about it, because it's like it's bigger. And yes, we're both running our own businesses. And yes, this is one of those things that, yeah, I'll do it. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm starting to see some results that are scary.
Yeah.
That if I can stay on track with this thing, not only will I have a legit savings for me, I will have exposed every single person that I know that will listen to my voice, that this is something, regardless if you do it my way or not, it's something that you need to be aware of. There is we have to do this for the next generation. We've been ruining
right.
the credit for the
everybody
the trillions of dollars and whatnot. We've ruined it for them, and it's getting worse and worse and worse, and we owe it to them to start looking at this. So I told mom and family, what legacy are we leaving besides debt? This is something we can start over.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a lottery win. We can start piece by piece, and if we work together, we all win. And this is one of those opportunities with 7K that it ain't just me. Everybody kind of pitches in, and then the more people that work together in numbers – we start to get stronger and stronger. So with the two people that brought us in, the Basses that you had, I think you talked to them before, they've been patient, and we connected
so
immediately.
So patient.
They connected immediately. They haven't right. pushed me or anything. They just said, hey, here's some things that you can do. And I say, is this what you say do? I'm going to go do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of it is just having discipline and belief. And I look at them and I listen to their story, and it's like, in 4 years, I can be doing what you're doing.
Right.
And you're willing to show me? Oh, yeah. And you don't know this, but I've had people call me from the corporate office and say, it's kind of scary. It's like, we see what you're doing. I'm like, what?
You're like, I'm just doing my thing.
I'm thinking, what I know is that I'm not going all in. I'm just, when I have time, when I can
well,
kind of manage it.
Like, you're not like, you're, that's not what you're leading in with, right?
No.
Which is back to your testament. It's like, you're not selling.
No.
You're not out there like, no. you know, hey,
don't have to.
What's your investment strategy or blah? You're building relationships.
Exactly.
You're getting people to like you, to trust you, right? And so on these podcasts, you know, we've done about 8 or 9 of them, and we've talked, and fortunately a lot of them have been in networking, our networking group, Master Networks. And so we talk a lot about that, like, nothing comes fast, man. Like, you don't just go into a room, meet somebody, and then boom, they sign up for much of anything, no. right? You got to build rapport. And even in our group, you know, it's like there's 5 roofers every week, even right. though there's an exclusive chapter. There's 8 insurance people every yeah. week, even though there's plumbers, an exclusive yeah. chapter, plumbers. But at the end of the day,
all real estate and insurance.
Yeah, exactly. yeah. I had two insurance quotes come my way. And I declined one of them. And I was like, look, man, it's no hard feelings. I was like, but the other person, like, I know them more. Yep. I trust them more. I see right. them more. Right. They know more about me and what I'm going through. And you, and unfortunately, I didn't say this to them, but I'm like, you didn't spend that time
right.
to cultivate that. You both actually came into my life at the exact same time. Mm-hmm. And the person who won, it had nothing to do with being cheaper or any of that stuff. It was like, I just like them better because I know them and I trust them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I met the Basses. They presented the opportunity. and it was reciprocity. You know, they became a customer of mine through faith and trust. I mean, they literally said, you know, we love what you have to offer. We're going to go home and think about it. Yeah. And when they said yes, that was a testament of them saying, you know what, we're going to give you an opportunity because we like you and we trust you. Yeah. So when they presented this to me, I basically reciprocated that back. I was like, I know you, I trust you, I like you. I'm willing to make it an opportunity for myself. And then you came along and that just compounded, like, okay, like I said, I get it now. You know, all my peers around me are starting to understand. So I've got somebody that's coming on board under my lineage at the end of this month. Yeah. Same thing. Somebody I know, he does business with me. He likes me. I see him every week. We fist pump. We do all this stuff. So I'm pumped about Las Vegas. Yeah. You know, I'm so unfortunately this, and I told Catherine this the other day, not staying at the Horseshoe. My best friend's coming with me. He's got 5 free nights at a hotel in Fremont. So I was like, I'm going to go ahead and save that money.
Oh, sure.
And go there. But we're trying desperately to get him on board. And nice. I told Catherine the other day, I was like, he's a slow burn, man. But he's my best friend. He knows me, likes me, trusts me. I was like, let me just bring him. So he doesn't know this, and he won't actually listen to this podcast, so I can say this. But I'm conspiring. I'm nice. Conspiring. I'm like, brother, just come be witness to the energy and the people that I know, and let them share their story, and just hope, you know, that he sees it. So, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, we can wrap it up here. Just any final. Is it that bad? Okay, yeah, go for it. And I'll edit it out. So. So we're both going to Las Vegas. I'm going to bring my best friend with me, and I don't know what to expect, man. I'm super excited. So I'm not going to do research. I'm not going to plan ahead. I'm just going to have an open mind and go for it. And
yeah,
see.
I think that's the best thing because I've heard how crazy it is out there, and they're saying that you're just the idea that this company, the reason why it's created, is to help not just the people that have the money or have the resources, but anybody. Can start to invest in their own self by collecting this gold and silver, and it's going up. It's only so much of it.
Right.
So it's like if you don't get enough of it, you're going to kind of be left behind. So mm-hmm. to go there with people that have that mentality and to know that at some point we're going to be sitting amongst millionaires and billionaires.
Right. And that ain't bad either.
That ain't bad. I mean, it's and those people want, from what I've been witnessing here, they want it just as much, if not more than you, because they know what it's like. And they're at a point in their life where we want to share this with you. So I had a guy that called me. He makes dream money. And he reached out to me and said, I see something that you're doing. I see something in you. And I want to know, what is it that I can do to help you get to that dream faster? And I don't have, I haven't had too many people in my life to ask me that question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what can I do? I've already made it. I've already done it. But what can I do to help? He doesn't have to ask me anything. I have. He doesn't gain by helping me. And to me, that spoke volumes. That someone that is making the money that I would only dream about, any of us could ever dream about, is reaching back to me saying, what can I do to make that dream a possibility? And it's going to be a room, a conference full of people just like that. So it's like, I don't know what to expect.
Right.
But like you, I'm going with no expectation besides I'm going. I got to check in on Monday,
right.
Check in on Friday. And that's it. And whatever happens between then, I've been told you're not going to come back the same.
Yeah.
And I don't want to.
No, you don't want to.
Wait for what?
For otherwise, don't go.
Right. Like, for a reason. I'm not going to come back married, but well, you never know.
Yeah, so. No, I'm excited. Yeah. And then, you know, I love these types of things because, I mean, everybody there, they're trying to do great things. And I just want to learn principles to take back to my everyday life. So like you said, no matter what, I'm going to come back as a different person. And that's what I think what I'm most excited about.
And the one thing, if I can just add this on, that this is, yes, this is a business, but it's unlike any other business that's out there. You're in the business of helping people even more. That's the whole baseline for this thing, is that the more people you help, the more people you can actually educate.
Right.
The more the company is going to help you. And you just, it feels good. So, yeah, the money's going to come, but if you don't have the passion, that's one thing I learned. If you chase the money, you'll never catch it. But if you chase the purpose, all the money is going to come, and you won't have enough room to receive it.
Right.
So it's kind of true. I get caught up in the helping part. Like, man, what can I do? What resources do I have? And when people come to me and they need certain things because we're talking, all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I know a guy that can help you with that. I know a young lady that can help you with that. So to me, it's like, wow, I just could possibly change this person's life.
Right.
And that's the part that I'm able to go home to and kind of have peace with. The money, it comes in and goes. We have bills. I'm not going to have an accident, knock on wood, and all of a sudden that money I just saved and I just got from my helping somebody, but focusing on the money is now gone.
Right.
So, but knowing that the person comes back to me, and people have been coming back and they've been referring people, it's like, wow, it's starting to happen. It actually does exist. When you do right, the universe has a way of working out to mm-hmm. where all of a sudden I'm meeting the Basses and they're taking time and being patient with me to say, hey, here's something that we can help you out or expose you to or to introduce you to that you can maybe go help some other people with.
Right.
And they just let it go. Let me go. And gave me the resources that they assumed that I needed or forecast that I needed. And that's what I showed you. They gave me something, say, hey, this is what you'll use.
Okay.
And it's made the world of difference for so many people.
Right.
For me and for so many people as well.
Man, well, I'm excited. And not only that, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I call it the Silver of the Month Club just to my peers. I mean, they're like, what is it? And so, yeah, I'm like, yeah, I get something cool in the mail. But now I've gotten two pieces. Ironically, Anthony bought my first piece back from me.
Oh, did he?
So, yeah, well, because I just had it in my hand. I don't know. I don't understand the value of it, right, at that moment. This is month one, right? So I get it in the mail. I open it up. I mean, I'm like, this is kind of neat, but that's as far as it goes.
Right.
I sent him a picture of it just to say, hey, it came in the mail. And he was like, I need that piece. I was like, what do you mean you need that piece? He's like, you don't understand. Mm-hmm. That's the last piece of this collection that I need. He's like, how much do you want for it?
Mm-hmm.
I literally go, I have no idea. I don't even know what that means. I can't put a dollar. I have no idea what this is worth. So he said, man, I got you. He said, I looked it up. This is what it's worth. He said, I'll give you that. I was like, it sounds like you need this more than I do.
Right.
But through that experience, I was like, man, like this is real. This isn't just some junk thing that comes in the mail and you know, whatever. Like, so I didn't take it out of the package. You know, I kept it in the package. I said, man, I didn't even touch it. I just, you know, showed it to my people and whatever. But so I have my second piece came in the mail. That's on a, so now it's in a special spot.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to keep it safe, right? I'm not even letting my kid play with it. You know what I mean? I just show it to him. The Bassets have some cool stuff. I'm sure they showed you their Spider-Man thing. They got a Star Wars thing going on. they got it all.
So what the conversation I had with the young man last night is we spoke and I said, man, because as I was saying it to him, it was hitting me back. It was like I was talking to me and he just happened to be hearing it.
Right.
And I said, for so long, we've been taught to put this money in the bank. Put in the savings, dump a little bit here, dump a little bit there. And after we put it in there, it's gone. And then we get a ledger or a receipt to show that it's been done. And I said, now I have this stack of this beautiful metal, this beautiful artwork on the collectibles, and I have the bullion coins. And it's like, I can now physically see my savings growing. And to know that my physical savings is growing even faster than the money that I don't see anymore. And I have it. It's in my possession. So I own it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all of a sudden, it's like, wow, this gold, this silver, these precious metals, I can see them every day. I wake up and like, oh, this has inspired me to go out and work even harder. Let me go and help one more person. Let me go find one more stranger that needs to know that this is actually a better way of doing it.
It's better than a watch collection, I'll tell you that.
And it's worth, yeah.
It's worth more.
And now I can take, and I said, even if this stack, I said, because this is all about savings. This is not about me getting it and then going to hawk it somewhere else.
Right.
This is something that is going to be in a family for generations to come. And it's going to be a whole lot worth more money when it's time than it is right now when I'm buying it.
Mm-hmm.
And that part is exciting. It's like, man. And I look around and I start seeing people playing with the kids like, hey, I got to go talk to that guy. Because that kid is counting on you to make a decision. It's counting on me to come have the conversation. Because everybody's thinking the same thing. My stocks are going to be all right. My money in the account's going to be all right. The job is going to continue to... No, nothing. None of this stuff. Well, not even silver's guaranteed. But
right.
At the same time, it's been here since the beginning of time.
Yeah, it's better than crypto.
Oh, and I have... I wish I knew how much I had. I have a ledger.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into crypto when it was $1,100. And I bought into it, and I tried to show people about it. I'm like, no.
I bought into it too, but then I pulled it out.
Oh, why?
Because I didn't. Because I'm late to the game, okay. My friend. Like, right. I'm late. I'm behind. Man, if I had, I met an entrepreneur in Master Networks yesterday. He's 23 years old, and he's telling me, "Oh man, I own this. I got this going on." I'm like, dang, like if I had just paid attention, man. I mean, I partied my everything off in my 20s. I just had jobs, I drank, I did this, I did that. Man, I just wish I was wiser back then, you know?
Well, the thing is that, and I thought about that same thing too, but he doesn't have the experience you have. He doesn't have the wisdom.
Literally, that's what everybody keeps saying. Literally, I shared that exact same story verbatim. Mm-hmm. I shared it yesterday with Aaron Pika. Okay, she gave me the same answer. She's like, Alex, you're selling yourself short. She's like, you wouldn't know what you know now had you not gone through all that. So you wouldn't be able to appreciate those things now.
Yep.
So, and that's what I'm struggling with, man. I just turned 40. My midlife crisis wasn't buying a new car, taking a big vacation or anything like that. My midlife crisis has been feeling like, man, I wish I would have started this sooner, or I wish I would have paid a little bit more attention, you know?
And everything happens for a reason, because I remember one of the first stories I heard in 7K was an older lady and an older gentleman, husband and wife. And you look at them like, man, that's the American dream. You guys have it made. Oh, I aspire to be that. She was a retired educator, and he was a retired entrepreneur. And he was like, I was planning on working until I died because I didn't have any savings.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't prepared to retire. Even though we were old enough to retire, we couldn't afford to retire. And so I looked at him like, wait a minute, what? And he said he got into this company. And now, through a few years of being diligent, they caught up to where they should have been in the first place. So I'm like, wait a minute, huh? So you started very late. You started at retirement age.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're riding around the country in a Winnebago. Because you decided to go start helping some people and explaining your story and letting people know that there's a whole lot more people that fits that same storyline, but they're not doing anything about it. And so when I start asking people, what do you, not to make you feel bad, but let's talk about it, because we don't talk about these things. We talk about, oh, did you see what happened on the reality show yesterday? Did you see what just came out, what's coming up, and the new device and the new car? We talk about those things that are frivolous, but what are you planning on doing if this happens? And having true in-depth conversations, which doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I met a lady. She was a surgeon. And so I'm thinking, oh, you have it made. You have a beautiful house in Prosper. You have all these things. You're making all this money. And I'm like, man, what a life. And then I asked her this question. If money was no object and time was no factor and you knew you wouldn't fail, what would you really do? I'm just curious. For thought, I mean, because you seem to have it made. She said, oh, I wouldn't be doing this. I'm like, wait a minute, what? You're successful. She said, no, I'm doing what I was always good in science, so I thought this was what I was supposed to do.
Right.
I said, what would you do? She said, I would design boutique hotels.
I love boutique hotels.
And I'm
like, it's so fun.
I said, well, why don't you do it? And she sat there and she said, no, I don't know. No one ever asked me to. I said, well, why don't you get, I said, you don't go all the way out, but maybe get some things together and then present it.
Mm-hmm.
She said, no one's ever gave me permission to do that. I think I may do that. I'm like, wait a minute. You came here for a fingerprinting thing. We're done, and we're sitting back, and we're talking, and all of a sudden, you just need to have some affirmation for permission to live your dream?
That's a whole nother level of crazy and weird. It's like, right? It's so...
So it just goes to show, so it doesn't matter where you are.
Right.
We all have something that we would do, but and even a lady... she came in and she said that same thing. She didn't want to tell me what her dream was. So what is it? What you got? I said, it's a safe space. How about your demographics? So come on. So I want to go work in a coffee shop in Italy. Well, why don't you? You know, I don't know. So your son is about to graduate. You're single. Why not? Have you ever been to Italy? She said, no. She said, I know, that's why it's crazy. I said, no, it's not. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I said, go do it. And you'll have the most magnificent life, because I just believe that we all have this fire. And then there's like a little, what do you call it, a pilot light that's
right
shooting that fire. And when we get these jobs, we get these careers, that fire is not really feeding that purpose. So it kind of dwindles down. And all we have is that little pilot light trying to keep everything going, which is why we feel so tired and we're so drained.
Mm-hmm.
But when people are actually in their passion, you can see a whole different vibe about them. They're doing something for a reason, and that they just seem like they're glowing and they're floating. Well, it's because that fire is actually being used in all aspects of their life.
Right.
Whereas ours have died out. And I ask people, what does your perfect day look like? And the blank stares I get, it's like, wow. Okay, what are you going to do when you retire? Oh, I never thought
I've met a lot of people fail at retirement.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
I said, so what are you working towards if you don't have a direction on where you're going at? How do you know which direction to go in? And it's just mind-blowing. So when I start talking to people about 7K for specifically, it's like, what is that you're working toward? Like, if you can make it happen, what would you do? And the people that have the dream, oh, it's an easier conversation, the people that don't. Because I can tell you all day, oh, this is the thing to do, but okay, now I have all this going. I don't know what to do. I have it here, and I'm, It's now what? What can you figure out? Go down deep and figure out, what would you do if you can do anything in this world? And now start focusing on that. So now, because I can tell you that in December, I was getting ready to go do some Uber Eats and some Instacart and all that, because things were just not going the way they've been going. And I'm like, did I make the wrong decision? And I started second guessing. I had all those voices in my head, like, man, I made the wrong. Shoot, dang, it was a good run. I guess I'm going back to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had on my list of things to do. And I said, before I do that, I'm gonna try a couple more things. And I went back and started re-shifting some things around and refocusing on what I can offer, and start taking some classes on things I can maybe do to enhance what I'm already offering for each one of the businesses. And December sucked. It sucked bad. January had the best month I ever had.
Just 3 months ago, 4 months ago.
But December, I was ready to quit. And I said, nope, because I was told, keep going. Get over that speed bump. And January was the best. And then February, a smaller month, as far as days, was an even better month. March, it kept going.
Yep.
And now I'm having, I mean, this is a record month right now.
And now it's only halfway.
Like, and now I'm doing, now I have this 7K thing now adding to it. It's
right.
Like, you've got to be kidding me.
It's about to get crazy.
It's
good.
About to get
crazy. And now we're going to the conference.
We're going to go to Vegas. Yep.
And then, so May's going to be Ooh, popping.
It's going to be...
That's cool.
It's going to be an amazing time, and I think there are some things that's going to be taking place in 2024.
I'm glad I get to join, do it alongside you, my friend. Oh, man. Like, I'm pumped.
Come on, man. We got to get you involved.
I'm leaning in. I've been in the chatter a lot more this last couple of days. Definitely getting excited about the trip. I've got Daryl Bowen, who you might know. I think so. He's going to be coming on at the end of the month. It's all good. So I'm pumped. So, how do people get in touch with you, Roscoe, and all of your different things that you're working on? What's the best way to, you know, is it phone numbers? You know, give us the websites, give us everything that we need for that.
Yeah. So phone, most people, well, it have different people that do different things. Like my fingerprinting people,
right?
The website is pretty much you pick what you want and you do it. I very rarely talk to my fingerprinting people. Every now and then someone will call me that they want to do something special, maybe have a bigger group. But Fingerprinting Solutions Plus is the website. It can be Googled. If you're in Frisco, I mean, I rank number one, which is pat on the back time there. It took a long time to get there, but Fingerprinting Solutions Plus is that one. My paternity people, everybody wants to talk. I answer the phone. Thank you so much for calling Paternity Testing Solutions. How can we provide you with service today? Do you do paternity tests? No, we sell chicken. That's like, yes, we absolutely do. But they like to talk.
Yeah,
they have a story they want to tell. So those people call me directly, and we spend time to kind of listen in and make sure that we're kind of handling them the way that they should have been handled in the first place. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been in this position. So that number, 469-850-0001. The fingerprinting, 469-850-0002. Yeah, they're easy to remember. Right?
Yeah.
So I see a 01 and 02. And then my 7K people, I'm just out face-to-face with them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see me coming, I'm going to probably bring it up at some point.
Nice.
But you don't love this one. Don't you dare try to steal it. But that one, I created another number for that one because I want to keep everything separated. Mm-hmm. So it's 469-409-007K.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Actually found
one. I bet you were so excited when that was available.
Oh, man.
I said, you just went crazy.
I said, I told the Basses, and they're like, are you serious? I said, call it. And then what I have is I have an automatic reply that sends a link out so they can actually look at the information themselves whenever I missed a call.
Yeah, that's cool.
So three different numbers, 469-000 or 469-850-0001 for paternity, 469-850-0002 for fingerprinting, 469-409-0075 or 7K is the 7K number.
Nice, very cool. Well, my friend, it's been a pleasure having you on our podcast. I hope you've had a lot of fun. This was a lot of fun.
Oh, we should be doing this every week.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to that point. So this has been cool, man. You know what? Let's do another one after the trip. Let's go to the thing.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
rehash it. And let's just get crazy with it. So thanks so much, everybody. This is Alex with Simply Gold, with Roscoe, with the 7K, with the paternity testing, with all the things, man. So... thanks so much, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.